I get an envelope? Needs one? All righty, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come before you and we can worship you, we can praise your name, we can exalt you for all the marvelous things you've done in our lives. And Father, this morning we just ask your blessings upon those that give, that they may receive the fruit from their giving, and Father, that you just bless them rising up and sitting down, going out, coming in their youth and in their old age, Father, that you just bless them in every form and fashion because they're praising your name in the giving that they give before you. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it won't be long till things will be different. Butch should be back. Long needed rest and relaxation. Because he's been telling me he's been doing two jobs, his and somebody else's, and going day and night trying to get things straightened out for both there and here. And so anyway, we have the privilege this week again to have Brother Rummy with us, and he's going to come forward and bring the message.
My goodness. I really don't know if anyone would need to preach. From what I understand, you all had a great Sunday school time. We just had the word preached to us through the praise and worship. How many of you know for sure your Redeemer lives?
Amen.
Huh? That should excite us, you know. Being a sports guy, I know that I still get excited when my team scores a touchdown, makes a good play. I'll say, That's it. You know, and I think we need to get as excited, or more excited for Jesus and the Word of God than we do for a football game or a basketball game. Amen. Or a baseball game.
Amen.
You know, every day should be an excited day.
Amen.
But I was standing back there and I was listening to the songs that I guess Terry, hopefully the Holy Spirit led him in them, which I guess he did. Because the words to the songs that was sang for praise and worship, I stood back there and watched people raising their hands and praising the Lord for those songs, because those songs evidently are alive within them. You know, they are their own testimony of what God has done in their lives. I will not take long, I promise you. I told you that last Sunday, but I kind of got going there for a little while. In my own cell. Pastor Butch called me on Friday and said the speaker that was scheduled to come had written down the wrong date or something, and he wanted to know if I would fill in for him again. And so, like I said, you know, Pastor Butch and I go back a long way. So I could not say no, you know, to him. Although I don't speak that often, but I do, you know, I have learned that when a chance is given to me to take it, to share what God has placed on my heart and what he's done for me, you all don't really know who I am. You may have seen me here. So a lot of the old people that used to be here whenever I speak, I don't see here. I see a lot, like I said last week, I see some new people, new faces. But you know, God really got a hold of me. All my life I felt like God was with me. From the time I was a young child, I sensed the presence, a special presence in my life. I've never felt that I was ever alone on my own. I always felt that God was God, Jesus, angels, whoever had been around me in my life. But at the age of 36 in 1975, I became seriously involved in my relationship with Christ. I dedicated my life to Him fully, completely, without any restrictions at the age of 36. And as I told you last week, I now have put on 43 more years since then. So I have experienced some wonderful things, and I will not take up this time to share them all with you. But God has done some miraculous things in my life, up close and personal. He will do that with you. As I said last week, He will do that with you if you believe it, if you have faith to believe that He will come and visit you at any time, at anywhere, that you really want Him to be there. When I was looking through the Word of God in preparation to come down here, a scripture that has always gripped me is found in Romans, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 28. If you have your Bibles, turn there, please. Romans 8, 28 to 30. It says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Now, purpose in the Strong's Concordance says that the meaning of purpose is this. It says, "The word suggests a deliberate plan, a proposition, an advance plan, an intention, a design." Of the 12 occurrences in the New Testament, this word appears in the Greek, is used four times for Levitical showbread, literally the bread of setting before. But most of the other usages points to God's eternal purposes relating to salvation. Our personal salvation was not well planned, but demonstrates God's abiding faithfulness as He awaits the consummation of His great plan for His church. That's in verse 28, where it uses the word "to those who are the called according to His purpose." And we who are all children of God have been called according to His purpose, not ours, but His purpose for our life. In verse 29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30. "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." I firmly believe that we all were known by God before we ever came here upon the earth. Before we was ever conceived in our mother's womb, God knew us. He had plans for us. The life which we was given by God, your life, my life, the one we now live, it's very important that we understand that. We are important to God. We're extremely important to God. Don't look at yourself as some old rundown has-been who got saved, who got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, because you are somebody special in the eyes of God. You and I were sent here upon the earth specifically by Him for a specific purpose. We are a part of the overall plan of God. We were not sent here to live our lives by any old way we want. We each have been given a specific mission. I want you to really understand, and I know you hear the word preached every Sunday in Sunday school and in church here, but I want you to understand one thing, you know. Number one, as I said, you are extremely important to God. He has a specific mission for you as to why you're here. You just wasn't something thought up by your parents, but God had a plan for each of you being here. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to call you into preaching or evangelism or whatever, but your very life itself, that you live and the way you live it before others, can be that mission that He sent you here for. His desire is that you get so close to Him in your walk that you will be transformed into the image and likeness of His dear Son, Jesus. As I've said many times before, when people see you, God the Father wants them to see His Son. Not you, although you are clothed within your physical body. But they want to see Jesus. He wants people to see Jesus in you. Don't ever forget that. Regardless of whatever the Satan may throw at you, don't ever forget the fact that God is working out things in your behalf to bring about that transformation, that you will become the image and likeness of His dear Son. When I was in junior high school, we had our basketball banquet, and the high school coach came down. I didn't consider myself an excellent player. I thought I was good, but I didn't think I was an exceptional player. Me and a couple of my friends was walking out of the banquet and getting ready to go out the door, and the high school coach hollered at me. He said, "Swanson." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What high school are you planning on attending?" See, in Huntington, we could have gone to either Huntington High School or Huntington East, the trade school there. I said, "Well, I think I'm really going to go to East." He said, "If you come to Huntington High School, I guarantee you will play for me at Huntington High School." I never had anybody say anything like that to me before, because you know, it took my self-esteem really up. But you know what I did my junior year? I forgot about those words. "I'll make a place for you on my team." I got frustrated running suicides. If any of you played ball, you may know what I'm talking about. You start at the goal and you run to the foul line, you back to the goal, half court, back to the goal, out of bounds mark, down to the other foul line, back to the out of, I mean, all the way back and down. I mean, I was running. I just came out of football. I was tired. So I just decided I wasn't ever going to go back to practice. I just quit. Just give it up. Never told him anything. I was a quitter. That affected me not only in my junior year, but my senior year. Because the basketball coach was also the backfield coach on the football team, which I was the backfield. I played in the backfield. Needless to say, that coach looked at me as a quitter. and it followed me into my senior year. On this journey we are on this mission that we are on for God, we face a lot of things in our life. And Satan whispers in our ear, quit. Give up. It's not worth it. Quit. Don't answer that call. Don't go to that person. Quit. Quit. But you know, it doesn't, like, I used to think that we really had to struggle to be perfect in our walk. And I do believe we need to have the goal of being as closely like Jesus as possible. I think that goal was out there before. I know it is before me. I judge myself based upon the fact, am I giving forth the image of Christ in my life? Am I walking and talking and doing the things that he would do? That's where I judge myself. But I got into the habit of trying to place that on somebody else too. And that's not what it's about. It's about me. And see, it's also about you. If we lose sight of the fact, as we sing the redeeming song, freedom that he's given to us. If we lose sight of the fact of what Christ died on the cross to give us, if we allow the things of life to come in upon us and smother us, those songs that we sang this morning, that you sang this morning, become nothing but a song or an emotional trend in our life. But if those songs really hit our heart, then we will want to do that which he's called us to do. His word tells us exactly what he wants us to do. So I challenge you to don't quit on God. Don't quit. Don't even think about quitting. Don't quit on the fact that you may slip and fall. You may make a mistake. You may lose your temper. You may find somebody that is very difficult to love. And like I said, there's somebody in my life that God is really dealing with me. Because I speak a lot about love. I write a lot about love. And I think that God is trying to show me that I don't know it all. I thought that I was a pretty lovable person. You know, I thought it was pretty cool as far as love goes. In fact, Pastor Butch says, when he's here to introduce me, he said, I don't know what Brother Roman's going to talk about, but I guarantee it's somewhere in there it's going to be about love. You know? But I found out when I married Vicky, who is a gift from God to me, I found out that I didn't know as much about love as I thought I should, or I wasn't walking in it. Because I believe if we know something, we need to walk in what it is we know. For if we know something and we don't do it, it's sin. And we don't want that in our life. But I found out not too long into our marriage, it had nothing to do with her directly. It had to do with someone who was in her family. So God has me on a new road, teaching me what it really is like to love someone who is at times very much unlovable. See, it's easy for me to love Bernie. I know Bernie. Yeah, I do. We go back a long ways. And I love Bernie. I love Debbie. And they can act any way they want to around me. I'm still going to love them. But there seems to be something about some people's personalities that just irritates you, aggravates you. But see, the problem is that I'm facing, trying to change, is that I'm trying to hold this person in her family to the same standard that I walk by. And I can't do that. I have to set that person basically where they're at. I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to quit. But God reminded me and took me back to that time a high school coach approached me. What I did, I quit. And I knew that if I was to fulfill the mission that God has for my life, I could not quit on her, on this person. But I had to allow the Holy Spirit to change me and my whole attitude, my whole thought press toward this person. But don't ever look at yourself as the old person, but look at yourself as the new. The one who is being changed, as I said last week, changed from glory to glory every day. You're not today what you was yesterday, neither will you be tomorrow what you are today. But he's changing you into the image and likeness of his dear son. That's what he's doing in your life. You may not see it. Sometimes you may not feel it, but he is. He's at work. He is faithful to finish that, to complete that which he has begun. We are to walk each day hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. Don't quit. But allow the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of your hand and lead you and guide you into the direction that the Father wants you to go in. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you praise and glory for this day. I thank you for the words that have come forth. And Father, if it has penetrated into the heart of one individual that is here, I give you praise and glory for it. For I did not want to come here wanting people to see me, but I wanted them to see you in me, to see Jesus, your Son, in me. I pray, Father, for this church, for the mission this church has been given by God. I pray for the faithful people who come every Sunday to worship you and to praise you, to be taught your word. I pray, Father, for those who are normally here but are absent for whatever reason. You know the reasons. I pray, Father, that the fire would fall upon the head of each one here this morning. Light up their life. Penetrate into their heart. I ask, Father, that you baptize them with love. Your word tells us that your love has been placed in us by the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. And I pray, Father, that those of the people here today would allow that love to permeate in and through them, that they would begin to walk in that love in every area of their life. I ask that you be with us the remainder of this day. Watch over, protect us, keep us from harm. I pray, Father, that there is not one here that will quit in their walk with you, regardless of what happens in their life, that they would get back up and brush themselves off and continue on the mission that you've called them to. I pray, Father, for Pastor Butch and Debbie. I pray, Father, that you would be with them as they have taken time to relax. To relax and be engulfed in you. Place within him the words that you want him to share with this congregation. Give him the direction that he's to go in his personal life and to the life of this church. May your Holy Spirit be so strong within the walls of this building that when the moment you enter into this building, that presence of your Holy Spirit would be felt in a mighty way. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Romy, for bringing us the word. And I'm sure we've all been blessed by it. Time to stop and think about what God has done for us.